And I'm going to give you three quick principles this morning to help you go home with, and maybe jot these down and put them in your memory bank. A couple things you need to do when you get to the house, though. Number one, I want to encourage you. You're not going to be any stronger in your relationship with the Lord or with other people than you are in your depth in the Word. When you get home, it's important every day to get your face in the Bible. Amen? Meditate, memorize, memorize, meditate. If you don't know how to pray, the easiest way to pray is to pray what you read. So let's just say you're reading John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." You can stop right there and start praying. "Lord, I want to thank you that you love the world. Lord, I thank you that I'm part of that world that you love. So I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. I thank you, Lord, for saving me at Black Mountain. Now, Lord, I want to ask you to help me love the world the way you love the world and see the world the way you see the world." What are you doing with that verse? You're praying through it. What you're doing is you're getting it in all your senses. You're seeing it, all right? You're hearing it, all right? You're touching it, you're saying it. And so when you leave the house in the morning, you've got that word on your mind. So get in the word. Number two, make sure you're praying. Praying is just communication with the Lord. It's something that you can do all day. It can be out loud. It can be silent. It's just you're consciously aware of the presence of God all the time. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Number three, how many of you go to church? Do you go to church? Right, listen, FCA is not church. You need to go to church. And you say, "Well, my church is boring." I understand. People sleep when I'm preaching too, all right? I don't like everything about the church I attend, and I'm the pastor. That's just the way it is. I agree with Adrian. He said, "Hey, there's dogs and cats, and sometimes people have a better idea than I do. I don't like it. I'm proud. I got to swallow it because their idea about doing church is better than mine. I may not like the style. It might not be my preference, but that's not the agenda. If it glorifies Jesus and brings people closer to Him and causes them to go deeper in their walk with the Lord, then that's what we got to do." And there was a guy in the London Times that wrote an article on a Monday morning. He had submitted this letter, and it said, "I'm not sure why I started going to church, because when I wake up on Monday, I forget everything that the guy said on Sunday," which happens to most people. So there was another guy that wrote in like a rebuttal or response, and he said, "Well, the problem is I've been married 20 years and I don't know many of the meals my wife has cooked for me. I just know if I hadn't been eating, I'd be dead." Amen? And so you need to go to church because you're getting more out of it than what you think. And remember, it's not what you get out of church, it's what you put into church. That's the key. If you serve it, if you put yourself into it, sacrifice for it. Remember, Jesus made three institutions: government, marriage, and the church. And if you're not part of it, you're betraying one of the very things that God, through Christ, gave His life for. Be part of a local church. If you don't know where to go, I guarantee you, call your local FCA office. If you got a Christian coach, they'll recommend a good, solid church to you. How do you know where to start in choosing a church? Well, number one, you choose a church that believes in, preaches, and lives out the Bible. Not worship style, not music preference, not whether the youth group goes on a trip to the beach, all right? Do they preach, live, teach out of the Bible, and believe that it's the Word of God? Go to church, pray, read your Word. Number four, do something to get outside of yourself. Do something to get outside of yourself. Meaning, if you're going back to a bad home situation, some of us may be. You go back to a place where you can get so closed in that world that it's all you think about. I don't care where you serve, but go serve somebody and get outside of yourself so that you see a world outside of your world, and the world you're going back to doesn't bog you down so bad. Does that make sense? Make sure that you're serving. And then number five, if something's happened to you this week, all right, if you've been born again, saved, you're a believer now, whatever terminology you use, rededication, you've confessed your sins, you've got right with the Lord, I want to encourage you to go tell somebody. Now listen, some of your friends are going to leave you before school ever starts. When I got saved, I wrote a letter to every friend that I had in high school And all my buddies in college that were on the baseball team, I went and told every one of them at the five-year class reunion, they made a video. I was the first guy in my senior class of 86 to come to Christ. We didn't have one Christian in my senior class that I know of. I became a Christian. This girl in Birmingham gave her heart to the Lord. We showed up at the five-year reunion, and they had cut a video before we got there, and they were making fun of me. And I was voted most popular guy in my senior class. And because I came to Christ, I was the least popular guy at the class reunion. Look, things are going to change. Here's what I think about going home. You might as well get the hurt over with when you get to the house. Don't prolong the agony. Just go ahead and tell them what you've done. Throw the gauntlet down and get it over with. Amen? Because the thing you don't want to do is go back and then bring a reproach on the name of Jesus by acting like you don't have what you now got, and then trying to tiptoe around the thing and play both sides. Be in or out, but don't try to be both. If God's done something with you, go tell somebody about it and learn how to be a witness for Christ. Go find Davey at Circuit City, amen? Go find you a dude with some makeup on and tell him about Jesus, okay? If not, be a witness to your family. Be an influence where you're at. It was like a kid in Woodstock, Georgia, I believe it was. He was praying that the Lord would help him be an influence to his school. And he felt like God had given him a vision that he was going to preach to every single student in the school that year. So he got like 3,000 Bible tracts and started trying to put them in every kid's locker at the high school. And he got in trouble for it. And then he thought he would try to find out as many emails as he could, and he sent out a blast email to witness. And nothing seemed to be working. Until this kid got kicked out of school in Miami, Florida. He was living with his mom. His dad was living in Woodstock. He's going to be sent to live with his father. And sure enough, he befriends this kid that had this vision that he's going to be speaking to all the students in the school about Christ. Well, this kid that thought he was going to speak to all the people in school about Jesus, listen to some alternative Christian music, he befriends this kid from Miami who was a drug addict, which is why he got kicked out of school in South Florida. Sure enough, they become friends. The drug addict kid now starts listening to this alternative music. The guy begins to explain to him what the music's all about, and sure enough, he gives his heart to Jesus Christ. So now they're friends. Now, they have Red Ribbon Week at the school where they're going to do drug awareness. Now, the principal had the idea that it might be great if one of our own students who maybe had been on drugs and now is off drugs might get up and share his testimony to the whole school. And you know who got to do it? That kid from South Florida. He gets up and shares his testimony. And then he tells everybody about how Christ came into his life and his friendship with this one kid who's sitting on the front row, and God speaks to him and says, "Did I not tell you you'd preach to every single kid in this high school?" Now, he wasn't the one that had the mic in his hand, but he is the one that sowed the seed that got planted in this kid's heart who told the whole school about Jesus Christ. Be an influencer for the Lord. Amen? All right, three things real quick. Let me illustrate. Whatever you do in life, leave your heart on the table, right? Leave your heart on the table. Mr. Moffat comes back from Africa. He's a missionary. He's an older fella, and he's worried that nobody's going to be able to take over the work that he started in Africa. So he calls for a church service. He lives in Scotland. So he has some ladies that are going to be handing out flyers in the community there in Scotland, and the whole idea of the church service on a Sunday night is to call people to go to the mission field in Africa where he is to carry the baton and to continue the work that he started. So he's on a boat heading from Africa to Scotland. They hand out the flyers. They're going to have church about 6 o'clock. And about 5 o'clock, they have a rainstorm. So at the service that night, 11 people show up. 10 senior citizen women and one 11-year-old boy. Now, none of the 11 probably qualified to carry the baton to Africa and take Mr. Moffat's place. But right there in the front row is this 11-year-old boy who has a vision of 1,000 African villages burning in the noonday sun, and God gives this kid a vision to go to Africa. His name, David Livingston. He becomes one of the most influential men who's ever graced the face of the earth. He goes over to Africa to be a missionary. I think he loses his wife to a disease. He's walking through the jungle in the middle of the night, and a stick went through his eyeball. He's attacked by a lion that mauls his right arm. He gets discouraged and goes back to Scotland to talk to his father. On his way back over to Scotland, his dad dies And so here's this guy, dead wife, dead dad, no eye, arm almost torn off, and here he is in Africa wondering what in the world God's doing with him. Revival breaks out, and at the age of 84, he's praying inside of his tent. All these folks in the village are lined up to see him. As he's in prayer, it seems that he's praying a long time. Finally, somebody goes in and shakes him on the shoulder and says, look, there's a lot of folks waiting to talk to you. And when they shook him, he just fell over. David Livingstone died praying in his tent in Africa. That ain't a bad way to go, amen? Well, Livingstone had become so famous that the Queen of Scotland wanted his body because she was going to make a big political deal out of the body of David Livingstone. But the African tribal chief, they say, took a dagger and actually put it in the dead body of David Livingstone and then carved his heart out of his chest and buried it in Africa. Then he put Livingstone's body in a box, put a note inside the box, then put it in a ship, sent it back to the queen, and when she opened up the box, this letter read, Scotland may have his body, but Africa's got his heart. Africa's got his heart. Whatever you do in life, make sure you leave your heart on the table for somebody in some place for Jesus Christ. Amen? Secondly is this. You got passion right now. You're fired up. But preparation without passion is no fire. Passion without preparation is wildfire, and you'll burn out quickly. Look, we've got passion on this mountain right now. Amen? But the thing that sustains passion is preparation. Now, I went and did camp at Gardner Webb, North Carolina, and I thought to myself, I'm going to interact with the kids. I think I was about 37 at the time, and I thought, well, I'll play baseball first, since that's the sport I played in college. I'll go out, I'll try to hit a little bit, and maybe I'll get lucky. I think Greenville, South Carolina, one of the schools that won the state championship. They had a right-hander that threw about 89, so I thought to myself, I probably don't need to step in against him, because he's going to cross my eyes. Amen? They had a lefty throwing about 83, and I thought, well, I'll step in against him and see what I can do. But the rule was, don't throw any curveballs. I haven't hit in quite a while off live pitching. So I thought he'd blow the fastball by me because I'm a little old, and I swung about 2 feet out in front of his fastball, and then the next pitch he throws me a 12-6 curveball. And then they're all laughing at me because I know what they wanted to do. They wanted to make fun of me when I'd get up to preach that night, how this kid struck me out, right? So I stepped out of the batter's box. I asked the Holy Trinity to help me get a hit off this kid. Sure enough, they called another curveball, and I knew they were going to do that. And it's like when the curveball got up there, instead of having that nice break, it's what we just call a spinner or a hanger. Meaning it pretty much gets right to the plate, and it sets there on a tee for you. And I really think the Lord just made it set there for me. And I hit it, and it about hit him right in the ear. And then I kind of cock-walked down to first base, right? And guess what? He became part of the sermon that night. Amen? And then the next night, I played a little basketball and was shooting it pretty good. And I thought, okay, we survived that. Then we went through the football a little bit. I chunked it about 50 or 55, and I thought, okay, we survived that. But there was a fourth crowd there that wanted me to come and participate in their sport. It was the wrestlers. Now, these dudes ain't right in the cranium. Amen? That's a totally different crowd right there. I mean, these guys are in a box that's about 125 degrees. They hadn't changed clothes in about 72 hours. They're grabbing each other around the crotch. You know what I'm talking about? These dudes are crazy. So I thought, well, I'll just get around the edges there and just kind of mock what they're doing or try to mimic it or do some things. And little did I know, they had formed a circle around me. And the circle started closing in. And then they sent this kid on me about 140 pounds. Now, I'm about 175, and he's gnawing on my ankles, and I'm, like, trying to kick him in the head, you know, and I did pretty good because I'm stronger than him. Then they sent out a kid about my size. And, you know, I learned something about wrestling. You can be in great physical condition, but wrestling takes in all that you are from head to toe. And I was about to puke after 4 minutes. So I'm sitting over here on the side just hyperventilating. I mean, I'm green, pale white, stomach churning, up in your Adam's. You know what I'm talking about. And then I hear this chant. Piggy, 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 piggy. I thought piggy was like some wrestling code word. Oh, no, no, no. Piggy was 225. State champion. Had shaved his head bald. had like some scar-looking things in his head. And Piggy came out to wrestle the preacher. And I'm looking at Piggy and he's looking at me. And all I thought was, he's going to kill me, but I'm going to slap him in his bald head right now. So I just took my hand, Schultz, and I just went, bam, right in the head. And Piggy was one of those dudes in the locker room before a football game, the harder you hit him, the more he loves it. And Piggy just looked at me and smiled with my handprint right on his head. And then Piggy did some kind of deal, and he's got his hand between my legs and his other hand like behind my head, and he picks me up. And they're all like chanting, Piggy, Piggy. Now look, I was fired up, John. I had passion. But the problem is I wasn't prepared to meet Piggy. And then they preached about me that night, right? Now look, when you go home, Piggy's waiting on you. Now you can have all the passion from Black Mountain you want to. But what's going to sustain you when the adrenaline ebbs and flows is the fact that you're prepared and you've got good core and foundation. Amen? Lastly is this, leave your heart on the table for Christ. Be prepared and mix it with passion so that head and heart are on fire. Number three, very simple, stay close to the Father's house. Stay close to the Father's house. See, Josh one year, my youngest one, decided that he wanted to spend the night with a friend, but there was a problem. Hurricane Charlie was coming to town. And Hurricane Charlie came in, I think, took, what, 250,000 roofs off of homes in Orlando. Now, we could have fixed that, but three more hurricanes came in the next, like, 11 or 12 weeks. Now, these other hurricanes didn't have quite the force of wind, which presented another problem. It's going to rain for a longer period of time, and the storm's just going to stay there. So now it's pretty much raining inside 250,000 homes. Now we got huge issues. And so, you know, it's not the time to be spending the night with your buddies and all that stuff. And the next year rolled around, and sure enough, we're supposed to have a Category 4 hurricane that's going to come through Titusville, down Highway 50, and right around the UCF area. It's a Wednesday, we go to church, and Josh comes home. They've already canceled school the next day as a precautionary measure. And Josh comes home and said, Dad, no school tomorrow, let's treat it like a holiday. I should get to spend the night with one of my buddies. I said, no, people are evacuating town, streets are filled, a little bit of chaos right now, supposed to be a Category 4, looks like it's going to hit us. I think you need to stay home, we're not going to evacuate, but we need to stay at the house. And he got mad, and then I said, you know what, you just need to brush your teeth, go to bed. And I said, Jordan, you go to bed with Josh, you brush your teeth too, me and Mom got everything ready for the storm. Now they started talking about me in the bathroom. Now they didn't know I was listening in the hallway, right? And the conversation went something like this. Hey, Jordan, you notice our dad ain't nothing but a no dad. He says no to everything. We want to put a little extra change in our pocket, he says no. We want a girlfriend, he says no. We want a celly, which was cell phone, he says no. Now remember, they're like 7 and 9, okay? We want to go to the mall by ourselves unsupervised, he says no. I've already asked him for a Guinea when I'm 16, which I guess was short for Lamborghini. He says no. He said, you know, I want to be a buyer, not a taker, which I assume was talking about lunch, because all the cool kids buy Chick-fil-A at lunch, and I'm a tightwad, so he's got to be a taker. He's got to have a Publix fixed sandwich, all right? So now he's going through this whole thing. Dad ain't nothing but a no, Dad. No to Guinea, no to Sally, no to the mall, no to change in the pocket, no to girls, and no to being a buyer, got to be a taker. He said, Jacob Bailey lives about a mile and a half from here, and I got a little proposal, Jordan. I think we should run away from Dad tonight, get out of this house because it's a no house, go to Jacob's house because it's a yes house, and Jacob's daddy will let us do whatever we want to do. Yeah, I'm not feeling real good about this situation, amen? He's got a closet full of clothes. He's got a garage full of toys. He's got so much junk underneath his bed. He got the DS and the PS and all this kind of stuff. And I just fired around the corner. I said, are you a man? You think it'd be better to live at Jacob Bailey's house than my house? You think Jacob Bailey's dad would do for you what I've done for you? Would he clean up your diarrhea, wipe up your vomit, and do for you what I have? If you're a man, Josh, you pack your crap and get out of my house right now. I said, Jordan, are you a man? He said, I ain't no man, Daddy. I'm going to bed. So Jordan goes to bed. It's just Josh, the younger one. I said, you still a man? He said, I am the man. He said, I don't need him. I'm out. I said, you are out. I'm kicking you out. I said, get your suitcase and get out of here. He grabs his little suitcase, you know, out of the closet. I said, no, sir. I do think no dad bought that for you. It stays. He got a bunch of clothes out of the drawer. I said, nah, no dad bought them clothes for you. They stay. He got his shoes on. I said, nah, no dad bought them for you. They stay. Got him some light blue Carolina blue undies out of the drawer. Back corner. These undies been sitting there about 2 years. I mean, these undies for when he was 5, and now he's 7. He pulls the undies out, and he shakes them in my mug. And he didn't call me Dad, he called me Pops. Now, you know something about to happen after that, right? Hey, Pops, you see these? I said, yeah. He said, Grandma bought these for me, and there ain't a thing you can do about that. I said, I'll put your undies on and get out of here. He puts his undies on. They're about 2 years too short. Honestly, both butt cheeks are hanging out of his underwear. Darn near look like a thong or something, all right? So here goes Josh with his little Speedo Carolina blue undies heading for the... That's all he's got on with his butt cheeks hanging out the back. I said, you out. I locked the door behind him. It's starting to storm, wind's starting to blow. He makes it about 3 feet. I'm looking through the window. He wants to come back in the house. I said, no, you the man. He said, I am the man. He said, I just need to know between this house and Jacob's house, what's waiting on me? I said, well, in Orlando, murderers, rapists, pedophiles, alligators, pit bulls, and rattlesnakes, but you the man. He said, I am the man. I'm out. He made it about a foot. He come back in all crying, you know. He said, you knowed all them things I said about you in that bathroom. I didn't mean none of that. He said, I think we need to have a campy tonight. Now, that was code for indoor camp out, right? He said, I want to sleep with you tonight while the storm's coming. Now, listen to me. I'd rather have a no from the Father and be living in his house than a yes from the devil and not know who's got my back. See, and some of you, when you go back, you're going to be lured out of the house. And you're going to be groping around in the dark and not know who's got you covered. Sometimes God's going to give you a yay, and sometimes it's a nay. But I want to challenge you to do this. Stay close to the Father's house, and you'll never regret it. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? Leave your heart on the table. Put passion and preparation together. Stay close to God. We're going to read our Bible, right? Going to pray. Going to go to church. Going to get outside of ourselves and bless somebody. And then go tell somebody what happened to you. Now, I played quarterback in high school. We ran the wishbone, which means you get hit in the mouth every play, right? Coach Nipper decided that he was going to quit 2 weeks before the season started. So we didn't have a football coach. So it looked like we was going to cancel the season. And Mr. Upchurch, the science teacher, decided to coach the team just so we could play. We had 19 kids, 10 seniors. All 10 of us went both ways and special teams, except for one, Lyndall Hargraves. Lyndall was about 5'3". And about 299. All right, you do the body type, all right? Lyndall, listen now, 19 kids, Lyndall's the backup center. You figure out his athletic ability. Every now and then, I'd let Lyndall, because listen, I coached the offense basically because Mr. Upchurch didn't know what was going on. And so we would draw plays in the ground sometimes. Now, we could play defense. We shut out the first three schools, lost to the number two team in the state, 16-6, ripped off four more in a row, and here we are going to play Carterville at 7-1. We're 7-1 on their field. Whoever wins is going to go to the state playoffs. Now, I'd let Lyndall do a few snaps during practice, but when he'd bend over, you know, I'd kick him in the butt. He'd fall over on his head. Then we'd strip him naked down to his jock. We'd throw his shoulder pads and stuff in a little pond right beside the field. Then we'd get his keys and take his car a mile down the street. We were cruel to this boy. 5'3", 299, ain't never had a date in his life. This kid never got to play, never got to play in a game. We're at Carterville now. We're down 8-6, 3 minutes to go. We got one timeout. We've just scored, missed a two-point conversion. I'm the kicker. We're going to do onside kick left. Mr. Upchurch decided that it was time to put Lindell in the game. He wanted him on the kickoff team. I said, Coach, I don't think so. I said, I'm really the coach more than you are, and I think Lindell don't need to be on the kickoff team. He said, well, he hardly doesn't get to play, and you don't even have to kick it to his side. Just if we lose the game, he's never going to have gotten in the game really all year. So let's just put him out there. Well, you know what an onside kick is. I mean, we're going to kick it 10 yards, and dudes are going to fight, right? That's it. We're going to call you names, pick your nose, poke you an eyeball, and everybody's going to go after it. Form a little TP, scrum under the pile, may the best man win. He was number 60. We kicked it about 10, 11 yards. Grass had some dew. It's getting a little slippery. You'll never believe who came out with the football, no lie. Lindell Hargraves. So Coach Upchurch didn't know what play to call, and I just said, all right, 28 sweep pass right. So I just took it, and I turned it to Gary Hathaway. He rolled out and threw it to his cuz, Jody Hathaway, down in the corner of the zone, touchdown. And we beat Carterville. Now, we did have a radio station, Wixie 102.3 FM. Dr. W was the DJ. And the good doctor gave out a little trophy at every pep rally. We're going to the state playoffs now, and I remember the town shows up for the pep rally, and Dr. W said, player of the game, Wixie 102.3 FM, Lindell Hargraves, standing ovation. Now listen, not everybody here is going to be the quarterback. And I was asked to preach a men's conference, and this powerful, heavyweight kind of speaker was supposed to preach, and guess what? He canceled the day before. The guy that was doing the men's conference knew me. He said, hey, Scott, I'm in a bind. This guy has canceled. I said, no. You have the quarterback, and now you're getting the water boy. And then he said this, Scott, in 2-a-days, who is the most popular person on the field? Is it the quarterback or the water boy? He said, it's the water boy. He said, then just come fetch a pail of water and give it to everybody. And let's see how thirsty they are so they can drink. You know what Lindell is? He ain't the quarterback. He was just ready when his number was called one time. Look, your number ain't going to be called all the time, but it is going to be called by Jesus one time. Make sure you're ready to go in the game and do something significant for Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we bless you. These gentlemen have been great this week. Great discipline, great devotion. And now we leave, Lord, but we don't leave your presence because you're everywhere all the time. We're at the top of the mountain. You're waiting for us at the bottom. When we get to the bottom of the mountain, you're already at the interstate. When we get to the interstate, you're already at our homes. You're everywhere all the time. So, Lord, I pray you'd take what we learned on Monday night. Roger said no obstacles on Tuesday night. We got to watch what we got in that box on Wednesday night. No grudges, no bitterness. And last night, make sure we're sitting in chair number one. Help us to remember the keys, the pointers, all the things, the experience. Then help us go home, leave our heart on the table, be prepared as well as passionate, and help us stay close to the Father's house. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.